Welcome to episode 198 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. This week's show is sponsored by Adventure Required, ethically sourced knitwear for outdoors folk. Their line of hand-knitted hats are crafted by female Quechan artisans in the Andes Mountains of Peru. The hats are made from 100% baby alpaca wool, giving you the softest wearable fabric, perfect for keeping you warm during the cold winter months. The company gives women in Peru a chance to help their families by supplying them with work that pays a living wage. These women are incredibly gifted, and their talents can be seen in each and every hat that is sold by Adventure Required. To receive a 20% discount today, simply visit their website at adventurerequired.net/shop using the code TAP2015, that's TAP2015, at the checkout. In the past week or so, I've been working through a whole bunch of ideas for photo shoots and ideas which I want to develop over the coming months. In this week's show, I'm out and about once again, exploring a location which I think should make an excellent backdrop to a forthcoming shoot. My camera of choice was a more simple, liberating affair, and as often the case, I came away from my stroll with more ideas than I bargained for. So, welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 198. It's just after 4:15 in the afternoon, and I am walking along a slight incline along a track in the woodland. Now, the reason I'm here, and the reason I'm here at this time of the afternoon, given that it's winter and the light is fading fast, is that I have to do a bit of a location scout for a photo shoot. Now, as I turn round 180 degrees, I can see that the sun is still just about above the horizon. Of course, I'm sort of looking through gaps in the trees here. It was super bright, shining straight in my face as I turned around just a matter of minutes ago. So it's really, dropping off rapidly. Now, the whole day has been one of location scouting. Some people call it a recce. Something that is really quite important when you're planning photo shoots, whether it be shoots for yourself, for portfolio work, or whether it's a case of thinking about locations where you might be doing a paid photo shoot. Now, I've just taken a turning off to one to the left here along off the main track. And if I sound a little bit out of breath, I'm going to be quite miffed, because I'm feeling quite healthy these days and I don't tend to get out of breath too much. But the elevation has gone up a little bit more. The ground is actually it's not slippery, but there are a few sketchy places. We've had quite heavy frost overnight. Puddles have turned to ice, all that sort of thing. And of course, by this time of the afternoon, it hasn't really warmed up too much. I might be able to give you a temperature, an idea of temperature in a little while. But so I'm out here to get a sense of this area, possibilities for doing some shots. Now, there is an interesting aside to this little stroll that I'm taking. This particular woodland has a channel which does at times, and not necessarily every year, it does have running water. It is like a river, and that is water that runs off the hills and finds its way down to lower ground, and there it is. Excuse the noise in the background, I don't know if you can hear this. You've stopped now. Oh. There's obviously someone who's not very happy with a neighbour getting up into his perch in the tree. So, as I walked into like the entrance to this woodland, there's this area which most of the year, even in the winter, is just dry, absolutely dry. But would you believe there is flowing water? And I'm just going to talk over the top of those birds in that tree. And so I'm now thinking, aside from what I'm here to do today, I'm now thinking about other shots for myself that I'm thinking, oh, that could be interesting to have the flowing river there and all the rest of it. Now, if there is time in this episode, I will take a little wander down there and maybe talk a bit about that. If not, I will quite possibly make another recording and share a few thoughts about that other location in another episode. Anyway, excuse me. You guys are probably going to want to know what kit I have with me today. It is a very light pack that I have on my back this afternoon. And the main reason for that is that I actually don't have my bigger, heavier DSLR cameras or lenses with me. I was going to pack my D800 with a 24-70 f2.8 and a lightweight tripod and my audio recorder and a few bits and pieces, and I thought, do you know what, I'm not going to do that today. I've been doing quite a bit of driving around looking at locations in the immediate vicinity, and I thought, no, the light's going, I'm not here to set up actual shots at this point. Those of you that have listened for a while, you will probably remember, a couple of years ago now, I was anticipating a wild camp in these woods with my friend Alex Staniforth, who's an adventurer. This was in the build-up to, well, in his training, ultimately leading up to one of his attempts at Everest. Anyway, on that occasion, that actually didn't happen, but the recording I made was me in the woodlands, these same woods here, with a couple of speed light flashes, a camera on a tripod, using myself as a subject, because the idea was that we were going to come into the woods. I was going to pose Alex, do some shots. It was profile shots, publicity, and all that sort of thing. So if I was to have a specific location or a specific area, a specific shot in mind, then this episode might have been that. However, what I'm talking through today, the equivalent with that previous occasion, I'd done that whilst I was out and about, just walking through the woods or what have you. So I kind of just brought you the actual lighting tests and composition tests and all this sort of thing. So I haven't got my DSLR, I haven't got my heavy tripod. What I have got is my Canon G7X, which those of you who follow me on Twitter and Instagram and all that good stuff will know that that is, excuse me, quite a recent purchase. It's my latest update for point and shoot behind the scenes stuff. It does high def video, it shoots RAW and JPEG, it has a nice little flip out screen so that when I'm pointing the camera to myself, I can frame it up and I can, you know, it does all these sort of things. So I'll maybe talk about that another time, but that is basically the camera that I'm using today. Now, I will just switch hands here. In fact, I'll tell you what I will do is I'm just going to take my gloves off. It's, like I say, the temperature has dropped, but it's amazing how warm you get when you're actually walking around. So I'll just pop those in my pocket. If anything's going to get lost today, I would imagine it will be one of my gloves. So I'm going to switch hands with the recorder. And then out of my pocket here, I have got my G7X, my Canon. And because it has got such a big zoom, it's a well, in digital terms, it's a 8.8 to 36.8 mil f1.8 to 2.8, so it's a nice, fast, bright lens. It is giving me a lot of flexibility for playing around with composition, zooming in. I can change, obviously, all the apertures and shutter speeds, so it's allowing me all that flexibility, just as my DSLRs would. And the point being, I'm sure there are a lot of you that are listening to this who you might be a new listener, and you might be of the opinion that, you know, professional photographers have all the kit, you have to, excuse me, you know, you have all the kits, all the gizmos, everything that allows you to do this thing. It's not about the kit. We've said it a million times, right? Yes, the G7X is, you know, it has a certain price tag attached, but there are models in the range and from other manufacturers who, you know, they will do basically the same thing for you, but you just don't have the price tag and what have you. Anyway, this is my new behind the scenes camera. Up to this point, you probably might know that I've been using a Kodak ZX5, I think it is, for video. I was using my Canon G9, which was well overdue a replacement. That's just sat in a cupboard for quite some time. So anyway, other things in my backpack, I've got a first aid kit, my personal first aid kit. I've got a lightweight Manfrotto tripod, just a compact one. And what else? Oh, I've got a flask of tea with me, a sit mat. I've got a head torch just because it's, you know, the light is going. I don't anticipate being out when it's dark, but, you know, it's better to be prepared. So anyway, let's actually talk about these pictures then. It's quite a bit of excuse me, quite a bit of ambient noise. You can probably hear a helicopter now. There's a bright yellow helicopter passing overhead a couple of times. I think it's a search and rescue from the sea. Although, having said that, I thought that locally they weren't, or is it nationally, they're not actually running out of service anymore. Someone will correct me, I'm sure. So yeah, do you know what? That is a search and rescue helicopter going overhead. I'm going to carry on walking down the path here. I'm going to take a quick shot, actually, just because I can. There we go, line it up. Perfect. That could well end up on Instagram. It's just as an aside. I should probably say, what I'm going to do, given the light in this woodland, I'm going to keep an eye on the settings, because one thing I have discovered already with the G7X is that it handles high ISO pretty well, actually. I'm quite impressed so far. So what I've been doing, I've been using it for, you know, family snaps and this, that and the other. What I find is that I just have been setting it to auto ISO, and it's picked out the right settings that allow me to have whatever aperture that I choose. And I work with aperture priorities, so I choose the aperture in order to control depth of field, and the camera selects the shutter speed. It's actually giving me a good hand-holdable shutter speed. So what I'm going to do is, I do have this lightweight tripod in my pack, but I'm actually not going to use that at the moment. I'm going to have the camera set at the ISO that it is, which currently is... let's see if I can find it. Okay, so it's auto ISO, so I'll just leave it at that for the moment. So all I've got to do is think about playing around with the aperture and what have you. So in front of me, I have a fallen tree, or a couple of fallen trees, actually. And this particular area, this is why I wanted to visit. I'm going to do a sort of a round route, as it were, and it shouldn't take me too long. And what I might do is, where there's not a lot really going on, I will pause the recording and then carry on, so you're not just hearing me waffle on as I have nothing particularly of interest. So excuse me coughing, by the way. I'm just still trying to get rid of this tickly cough in my throat. So I've got these fallen trees here, and they must be about two, 3 foot in diameter, so they're pretty big. They've been here for a long time. And what I'm thinking for these shots, working with a manufacturer for clothing, so, you know, bright clothing, this sort of thing. One of the reasons I wanted to come out at this time of day is because I kind of like the idea of working, doing some stuff with natural light when it's a little bit darker. Now, the great thing, if you're working with flash, of course, is that I can make this look like, basically look like midnight, if I control the output to darken the ambient, basically underexpose the ambient light and the flash perfectly illuminates the subject. But I just wanted to get a sense of the light around this sort of time. On the shoot, you'd start a bit earlier, so you got plenty of time to work with it. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to have my my camera here, just literally just pointing it. See what I'm at, 60th of a second at f3.5. What I'm going to do is actually just, I'm going to bring that down to, we'll say 5.6, so it just gives a bit more depth of field back to front. And I'm just really getting a sense, slightly wide shot, 60th of a second. And incidentally, I'm shooting these on, let me remind myself, because normally, if I'm shooting like proper pictures, as it were, I always shoot raw, okay? In this situation, I'm shooting on JPEG, so it's just purely reference shots. I can see that's looking pretty good. So what I'm going to do is just come out of the menu settings. It's quite a wide shot, 5.6, 60th of a second. It's all leveled up. And there we go. That's nice. Quite a nice little abstract kind of setup, really. So I've got all of these branches here. I've got plenty of opportunity. I really kind of want to get someone sort of sat on here, or possibly, depending on the garment and the person, male or female, or a couple of people, what have you, get them up on the branch. So there's a footpath goes underneath the one of the trees here. So I'm just going to line this up, just do another quick shot. You can probably tell already, this is just a really quick kind of scout around. Just going to go over the top of another one, because they're these kind of little nooks and crannies. Actually got a cramp ball fungus here, which, if you know your bushcraft skills, you detach those from these trees, let them dry out, and they will catch a spark immediately from a fire steel or something, so you can start your fire. There we go, a little bit of bushcraft for you. Just going to frame up this next shot. There we go. Got all the moss on the tree, of course. That's really good. Now, like I say, if I was thinking about a specific shot at this point, I would set the camera up on a tripod, get myself in frame, and that would be, I'd use myself as a stand-in subject. So I'm just going to look around here. More fungus here. This is really nice. Not of interest today for the shot, but so this is nice here. I'm going to start playing around with the angles now, because I've got three smaller tree trunks, or rather two smaller trees and then part of one of the larger ones. And they just have stacked up to make a really nice kind of just repetitive pattern, sort of like diagonally across the frame. So just going to frame up. The one in the front has got all this moss on, which is nice. There we go, that's good. It's opportunity for people to be hanging off here. And wow, it's a really big fungus here. A cramp ball. That's brilliant. I won't waste time trying to collect any. I've already got some. I've already got some back at base. I don't need to be collecting any more. Got enough to do without having to sort those out later today. Just as I carry on walking around, and we'll carry on in just a moment. Today, this morning, I was out and about. And there's a number of features on my mind, which I'm going to be pitching to some magazines. And I won't give you any information other than to say that it concerns wild camping. And I've found a couple of really, really nice spots. But rather than just pitching in a corner of this particular location, and there are one or two buildings dotted around, rather than doing that and potentially upsetting people, I did my best to go and have a chat with ideally the landowners. And I was able to find one on one occasion, but not on another. So here we are. a fork in the path here. It would go straight ahead, deeper into the woodland. To the right, it would take me back towards the setting sun. In fact, that's a lovely shot right there. So what I'm going to do is just zoom in a bit lazy. It's purely just because I like the silhouette of the tree. So I'm going to lock the focus, recompose. That's lovely. And that's 125th at 5.6. That's lovely. You give that another 10 minutes or so, you won't be able to see the sun there. So I've just turned left at that crossroads, as it were, just to quickly nip along here. And I will carry on talking, because I just want to carry on saying about what I was up to this morning. So I found these locations, and they are... We had, we had this heavy frost. There are areas locally that I want to shoot things in the snow, to do with walking, to do with camping, all that sort of thing. And I want to get in there early now, finding these locations before hopefully we get the snow. But even if it was a really heavy frost, these locations are fantastic. One of them, or two of them, actually had flowing rivers going alongside. Oh my goodness, it was amazing. So that particular one of them, the best one, no one was in the local cottage, so I'm gonna have to go back another time. Right, now we found another fallen tree, and I'm not just looking for fallen trees. This is just what happens to be here. It's just one on its own. It's not particularly brilliant, although what is nice, we've got, you know, and you can't always guarantee what will definitely still be the same way next time we come back. Got this vines that have come off the trees and sort of, you know, hit the floor and what have you. That's just this kind of, this texture is lovely. So what I'm going to do is just take a quick shot. Got all the root ends towards me. F5.6, 60th of a second. And like I say, this is all handheld. And just for reference, to give you an idea, at this sort of time, that particular shot. Oops, hang on a second. Still getting used to this camera a little bit. Let's have a look. That was ISO 2000. And if I zoom in, you can barely see any grain on it. There's virtually no digital noise. That's lovely. This is what I've been looking for, you know. This is why I've been wanting to upgrade, because I can use this camera in all these environments, and I will be, to bring you videos and behind the scenes stuff. This particular camera creates its own Wi-Fi hotspot, so I can control it from my phone, and I can send pictures to my phone and then upload them to Instagram and all that sort of thing. So all these behind the scenes shots excuse me, all these behind the scenes shots all of a sudden I'm going to be getting much better quality than, say, my phone would produce. There's that helicopter again. Now I'm just walking into this little kind of almost covered area. We've got some fir trees here, which are nice, and there's another, oh, now what's this? Of course, we haven't got all the leaves. I'm better when I can see the leaves, really. So I think this is a... That's not an oak tree. Beech tree? No, I think I'm going to say oak tree. I'm not sure, but that just stands out. It's really nice, and I don't mind. It's all quite grey here. A bit of green, of course, but, you know, we're right in winter. So I'm just going to frame that up. Quick reference, the sky is just totally burning out. I don't mind that. Just going to move in a little bit closer. There we go. Frame the right hand side with some of this foliage here. And it's picking a 60th of a second at 5.6 for all of these. I can hear the grouse. Don't know if you can hear this in the background. Can you hear that? That's pheasants making its noise. It's that time of day. And of course, with this woodland, we also get deer in here. So how good would that be if we're doing the shoot and then a deer suddenly appears in the background? That would be that would be just amazing. Anyway, I won't hold out for that because they're elusive creatures. Now, this is interesting. Some years ago, I did some shots in the snow up here, and this was just such a lovely spot in the snow. It's like a winter wonderland. But there's like this kind of knoll almost like, you've seen pictures of like pixies sat on, you know, sort of mounds in the grounds, that sort of thing. It's just like that, so just going to frame that up just as a reference. There we go. It's kind of nice because what I'm thinking, if that was a lit shot and someone sat on there, that would be brilliant because you could use the lights, even just working with a two light setup, or possibly three. One on the main subject, possibly, depends how hard you want the light, but maybe with a softbox. And then one either side coming, shooting across the back of the shoulder just to create this rim light which separates the subject or subjects from the background. And like I say, if you're throwing the background into shadow, that's what you want. You need to separate everything out. So this is looking really nice. I'm just going to, how are we doing for time here? I'm going to keep this fairly short and sweet on this occasion, for a number of reasons. One, because I don't want to just waffle on and on and on too much over 30 minutes for you. And secondly, because I have other things to do. In amongst my travels this morning, I looked at a number of locations. I also went and spoke to someone in a local rural business centre about some photography that they're looking to get done. I also had some inquiries of my own. Hopefully, now, very, very early days, there could be some very exciting developments on that front, but I almost don't want to get excited about it because it is absolutely, you know, it's just very, very tentative. Anyway, so I've just seen another tree here, which is nice. But more so than that, to the left as I walk up this path, it is absolutely still in here and silent. Now, that helicopter is going, but if I stop speaking just for a second, just the sound of things in the trees in the distance, lovely. But we've got all these silver birch trees, and I do know that these are silver birch trees, and they're all so striking, you know, this kind of cold silver grey kind of repetition. These ones are quite, because this is an ancient woodland, these ones are quite scattered. There's no real pattern as such. In other areas of the woodland here, they're so regimented. It's really nice. Really, those of you that love your fine art black and white photography, you will have seen that sort of thing where people have photographed rows upon rows of silver birch trees, that sort of thing. There's great opportunities. So I'm just looking at all this. The thing that attracts me here is the thought that if you've got, say, a bright jacket or something against the monotone surroundings, is what it is. You're looking to create contrast. So I'm just going to do a quick shot here. I'll do just from afar, because you should always think about, you know, it's very easy to think, oh, I'm going to go in close, going to fill the frame with the subject and what have you. But actually, just as an additional shot, just because you can, excuse me, it's also worth thinking about the wider angle. So just literally at at this widest point, f5.6, a 60th, I'm going to leave it at that still, just because the light is starting to go now. There we go, and just frame that up. And one thing I do notice with this camera, just like all digital cameras that this sort of camera that I've ever used, when the light starts to go, you start to get that digital kind of, not flicker, but kind of almost like pixelation on the back of the screen, that just kind of shows you the graininess as the light is going. So, but it doesn't appear on the final pictures. So just going to go wandering through, or ducking under another tree. It's kind of a nice tree. There are lots of trees here, funnily enough. Walking around this bit of the path. Do you know what? That basically virtually concludes exactly what I had in mind. And this was only meant to be a very quick trip out, because, as I say, it was busy this morning and I've still got emails and things to do, and I want to do that rather than doing them late tonight. I want to do that in... I have things going on this evening, so I want to get that done latter part of this afternoon. Just having one more look just around here. Do you know where I find myself now? I am right by a fallen tree, which I used for the show notes picture when I was shooting bluebells. I'm pretty certain that's the same one. What I'll do is I'll link to that in the show notes, of course. And obviously it's a different time of year, but you'll get the idea. And yes, I set up here. I did the shot of me taking pictures, and my tarp was in the background. Well, there we go. That's brilliant. I knew, the area where I was, but I didn't expect to see that same tree. It's a bit like seeing an old friend. That's lovely. So I'm going to take a quick reference shot as it is. It looks very kind of like spider-like, as if the sort of these legs sticking out, sort of like gnarly kind of boughs of the tree. So just do a quick shot there. There we go. So yeah, I've basically covered the route, the little circular route that I wanted to do here. No time in this episode to talk about the flowing water, but that is something that for myself, I might have a quick trip out here. Where are we now as I record this? This is a Wednesday, so maybe at the weekend I might try and do something. The only danger with that, of course, is because this is obviously, open to the public, you do have the public walking their dogs and coming in, and the opportunity to record video or to be left in peace is it's not as good. But that's not to say that I won't do it. We'll just have to wait and see. Just one more shot here. Lovely sunset. Oops. What's that? Pigeon in the tree? One more shot. That's nice. Sun in the background. Yeah. I think we're just about there. So, get myself back out onto the main path here. Now, I don't know what the temperature is. I'm guessing it was -1 this morning when I got in the car. I'm guessing we're down to about 3 degrees C now. So those of you that are used to Alaska and all this sort of thing, listening over in colder climes, you're thinking, oh, it's lovely and warm. But for us down on the south coast of the UK, it doesn't get super, super cold. And to get snow, which is always lovely, it has to be really something exceptional. So, I'm still looking at this place, thinking about for camping, setting up tents and stuff for shoots as well. It's always good, I've said it before, it's always good to have a bank of reference places. It might be, for example, if you live down by the sea or by a national park or something. If you have a particular corner or a particular spot that you really like, and you like shooting, you might be into shooting model portfolios, or just photographing your kids, even something like that, or your partner, it's always worth having these locations in the back of your mind. And I've walked around here today and shot a few pictures. Now, in the past, what I've done is, back in the good old film days and all that sort of thing, and also in digital times, I have printed out either thumbnails or small prints, like maybe 6x4s, and put them in a folder, and just had sort of labels that say this was this place. If there's anything in particular worth knowing, for example, sunsets over this particular point, or what have you. It's always worth doing something like that. But there we go. I think we're just about there. So if you have got any questions about anything I've talked about today, I'm just going past the initial point where I walked into that first fallen tree. So that's my round route done. If you've got any questions about the G7X, the whole shooting at dusk or twilight, or you know, considerations for the winter, all that sort of thing, do let me know. But for now, I will leave it there. If the mention of a possible woodland river photo shoot caught your imagination, fear not. I'll be bringing you more about this in another podcast very soon. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon. Thanks again to this week's sponsor, Adventure Required, producers of ethically sourced knitwear for outdoors folk. To receive a 20% discount today, don't forget to visit their website at adventurerequired.net/shop using the code TAP2015, that's TAP2015, at the checkout.